The House will come to order. The flag salute will be led by Representative Michael Dembro.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be presented by retired Army Colonel John Kovach, Mayor West Lynn, and a guest of Representative Carolyn Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good morning. As we all know, legislatures and city halls are places of ideas, places where ideas are shared, discussed, modified, and sometimes even adopted. So it is with science. And yesterday, around the world, science celebrated a man and the ideas that have become the central organizing concept in biology. Yesterday was Darwin Day. While Charles Darwin is correctly credited with developing the theory of evolution, much of the material comprising the theory was known to science before Darwin was born. So what did Darwin do differently from others? For one thing, he became rather famous for spending 5 years on the good ship Beagle going about the world collecting specimens. He then spent over 20 years meticulously studying his subject. He studied the natural selection of many species, from orchids to earthworms to barnacles. As a result, he became an important naturalist. He was credible in his field. He had succeeded in compiling data, the old and the new, into a compelling factual treatise. Almost 20 years after he had written his first summary of evolution, he published The Origin of Species. His reputation was such that the book sold out in one day. And he went on publishing, 15 books in all, and he was a good writer. He told the story of science in a compelling and interesting fashion with a bit of humor thrown in. So whether it is science or government, bringing ideas together can be a fascinating and enjoyable process. And today, I hope you have some fun. Thank you for having me.
Courtesies. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, John Kovach, for helping us recognize Darwin Day. Your insightful words about Charles Darwin again remind us of the importance of science, logic, and ideas in moving our world forward. I've had the pleasure of knowing John Kovach and his wife Merle for over 20 years. John has had two illustrious careers. He served in the military for many years, where he retired with the rank of colonel. He has both an MBA in business management and a Bachelor of Science in engineering. John worked in business for many years and is now a retired investment officer. After retirement, John spent 7 years on the West Lynn Planning Commission and went on to serve on the city council and is now the mayor of West Lynn. John has done a great job guiding that city through a very difficult period. I'm not surprised that John spoke to us today about science and governance. He is an engineer at heart and by training, and he takes a reasoned, analytical approach to problem solving. Thank you, John, for coming today, and welcome to your capital, and have a great tour.
Representative Conger, further courtesies.
Colleagues in the South, in the South Gallery, we are joined by Brandy Jordan, Taryn Underdahl and Michael Bierman. Brandy and Michael are students at Central Oregon Community College, and Taryn is a student at OSU Cascades. They have joined us here today from Central Oregon. They are members of the Oregon Community College Student Association, and they're here to talk to us about the Community College Workforce Development Fund, the Oregon Student Access Commission, and HB 4058, the textbook affordability bill. I think I'm characterizing that correctly. Please join me in welcoming them to their Capitol and extend them courtesies as you see them about the building today.
Welcome to your Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please welcome today my intern for the day. Her name is Natalie Brown. She's a sophomore at South Salem High School, which is my alma mater, and she will be job shadowing me around today. And at the end of the day, I can't wait to hear what she has to say about all of this. She's already sat through a pretty lengthy tax policy discussion that has left her eyes glazed over. Hopefully it will get more exciting from there. Thank you and welcome to Natalie.
Welcome to your Capitol. I hope you have an enjoyable day. Further courtesies. Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. All members are present, excused, comp. Quorum is present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bills 1531, 1535, 1537, 1565, and adopted SCR 207 and SM 201.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SCR 207 in memoriam Gail Louise Achterman, 1949 to 2012.
Measures read the first time are passed the co-speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 4170 relating to dog training and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 4171 relating to election filing deadlines and declaring emergency. House Bill 4172 relating to the use of retired state police officers to enforce laws concerning tobacco products, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the first time are passed to the co-speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 4050 relating to the ocean troll salmon fishery and declaring an emergency. House Bill 4150 relating to the credit enhancement fund and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the second time are passed to third reading. Third reading of House bills. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4164 relating to the Oregon Health Insurance Exchange and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4164. Representative Thompson.
Colleagues, in the last session of this legislature, we passed Senate Bill 99, which established a public corporation to administer the Oregon Health Insurance Exchange. Senate Bill 99 placed many requirements on the operation of the corporation, as well as to bring back to this legislature a business plan for our approval. This bill, House Bill 4164, provides for legislative approval of the exchange's business plan. Last year's legislation directed the exchange to report to the legislature its progress in preparing the business plan, issues the corporation was encountering in meeting legislative direction, and to report on its meeting the timelines and deadlines in preparing the exchange to be ready for open enrollment in October 2013. The work plan the corporation has shared with the legislature at its interim meetings and to the Legislative Oversight Committee is that by the fall of 2012, they will have submitted information to the federal government showing that the exchange will be ready for open enrollment in fall 2013, and by January 2013, receive the certification of operational readiness from the federal government. Failure to obtain this certification will begin the process to implement a federally run exchange in Oregon. Legislative oversight of the exchange will not go away with passage of House Bill 4164. The corporation will continue to work with the legislature and the state of Oregon in the following ways. One, a bipartisan Legislative Oversight and Advisory Committee composed of two representatives and two senators advises the corporation in matters concerning implementation of the exchange. Two, the corporation is required to make quarterly and annual reports to the Legislative Assembly on such things as the financial condition of the exchange and the implementation of the business plan. Thirdly, the Secretary of State must conduct a financial audit of the corporation every 12 months and a performance audit every 24 months. For small employers in Oregon, the exchange will offer a new model of insurance that is not available in the small group market today. For individuals, the exchange will be the single source for federal tax credits to help pay for premiums and cost-sharing subsidies to help pay for co-pays and deductibles. They will be able to shop for plans that have been independently and objectively judged by the exchange based on quality and value. The Health Insurance Exchange presents a tremendous opportunity for Oregonians and Oregon's small employers. That's why the Oregon business groups, as well as the consumer advocacy groups such as AARP and Osberg, have come together to support House Bill 4164. I urge you to support Oregon's employers and individual consumers in the passage of this bill. Thank you.
Co-carrier Representative Greenleck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Just a couple of points to supplement the good carrier. The bill is several pages long, but the heart of the bill, the heart of the bill is in Section 8, which essentially deletes the section of Senate Bill 99 that says the exchange can't go forward until we approve the business plan. By deleting that section of 99, we have approved the business plan. There is a very extensive business plan that's been available to all of us. It was distributed to the whole House. We've worked very hard on it. The Legislative Oversight Committee has worked with the exchange. They've done a great job to come up with basically unanimous support throughout the business and labor and consumer community. It's a good bill. It will allow small business to save money immediately, allow individuals to get great access to health insurance once the exchange starts and get subsidized by the federal government. It's, I think, a wonderful take-home bill for all of us. This is one bill that all 90 of us in the legislature can take home and say we've done something useful for individuals, for middle-class families, and for small business. And it also allows us to save money in the health insurance industry overall, because people will get health insurance in the exchange and won't have their expenses transferred to the rest of our insurance premiums. I urge a yes vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 4164 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Freeman moves House Bill 4164 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. To your motion, and I'm just going to say this because of the we had last week, this is about the motion to refer, not about the bill and the content of the bill. Thank you.
Thank
Representative
you,
Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to thank the folks that have done the policy work on this, and I believe the policy is sound. However, there is an issue around how some of the funding is going to work with the federal money we've been given for the IT portion of this in a grant, and moving forward into the next several years of implementation, how that funding exactly will work and how many employees there will be. And I believe there's a need for it to go to Ways and Means just for a quick stop to better understand the financial commitments we're making with this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Schaff. Wait, on the motion.
Yes, sir.
On the motion to refer, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, it's pretty clear why I'm will be voting yes to re-refer this, because we got the horse before the cart. We need to pay for this stuff first, and I'm voting to re-refer it until we pass some substantial job creation jobs bills specifically related
to the motion
and water. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
There is no need to refer this bill to Ways and Means. The legislative fiscal has reviewed it. It has no negative impact on Oregon fiscal situation. It's paid for in its interim entirely by federal funds, and then once it gets operational, it'll be paid for entirely by fees. We vetted this bill in the House committee over and over since Senate Bill 99 passed. Sending it to Ways and Means does nothing but slow the bill down. This bill is an important bill, and we should not be slowing it down. There's absolutely no fiscal reason to do so. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the maker of the motion, please.
Representative Freeman, do you yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative. Representative, I guess I'm a little confused. In the Ways and Means process, we had a very open process, and most every bill has come out, has had discussion between the co-chairs and the subcommittee co-chairs. There's been no discussion on this bill between the co-chairs of having it moved back to Ways and Means. And as far as I know, there's been no request of LFO for any specific information concerning this bill. So given that, is it possible for you to tell me what exactly, I know FTEs and other things are concerned, what exactly could this bill benefit by going to Ways and Means that can't be secured by simply requesting information from LFO prior to the bill coming to the floor and prior to the policy committee passing it out to us? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Great, thank you for the question. It had come up in our caucus meeting the other day that there was some question as to how the financial impact of the federal grant that has hired employees and has created some positions currently in state government, what would happen in the future if that money was not to come in, or if some of the legal aspects of going on with the national reform on healthcare law is altered in some way. And we just want to ask a few very specific questions around what commitments we've made, what commitments we're making moving forward, and how it is we'll be able to continue to have this exchange if, in fact, the federal government no longer supports it. And I believe those questions can be answered relatively quickly, but it is clearly a financial Ways and Means process that should ask those questions, not a policy committee.
To the motion.
To the motion.
Thank you, Representative, for that response. Colleagues, again, in our process that we have followed in co-governance, we have continued a communication between co-chairs, subcommittee co-chairs. This has never come up as an issue until today. The work done by the LFO staff on the health exchange has been extensive. The members of the subcommittee in particular have been fully briefed on that work by the LFO staff. There is no additional information, I believe, that can come through a yet another review by LFO staff of this bill. I am confused with great sorrow, I suppose, that our process is moving in this direction. And in that regard, Mr. Speaker, I urge a no vote on this motion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
I just hope as we're doing this vote and others going forward that we're making it on the merits of the bill in question and not in the hopes to take bills hostages to trade them for other things.
That was, yeah, I'm happy that it's over. Further discussion. Seeing none, Representative Freeman, do you wish to close?
briefly, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. As to the comments from the representative from Southern Oregon, I can't speak to your confusion. I'll allow you to do that. The fact is there's some questions specifically around the way the finances of this exchange will work, and we do believe it's the appropriate place within Ways and Means to ask and get those questions answered. I am confident with just a very few clear and concise answers that this particular policy, which again, I believe is good policy and will have the support, will have the opportunity to move forward. And with that, I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Those of the opinion that House Bill 4164 should be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. The motion to refer House Bill 4164 to the Committee on Ways and Means, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The bill is referred. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4013 relating to accelerated college credit programs and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4013A. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 4013 will help bring equity to all high school students throughout the state of Oregon by helping to offer accelerated college-level classes at all of our high schools. Many students in Oregon take advantage of earning college credit while still in high school. Unfortunately, some students never get this opportunity because classes are not offered where they attend school. About 6 years ago, we passed legislation that would make available 10th grade assessment to all students in Oregon and help identify college readiness of all of our students regardless of their socioeconomic status. Last year, we passed legislation to require all public high schools in Oregon to offer college-level courses in at least three subject areas, math, English, and science, by the 2014 school year. With the passage of 4013, we will be able to identify and help all high schools reach these goals and offer accelerated college-level courses like AP, IB, and dual credit. This legislation will help the Department of Education post information on their website and contact school districts that offer three or fewer college-level classes with methods to help them make it easier for the school districts to offer these advanced courses. The Department of Education will get much of this information from the entities that create the curriculum for these classes. This legislation will help us in bringing equity to all students throughout Oregon with the opportunity to have more rigorous classes, and will also help us to attain our goal of 40-40-20. This legislation is an important part to help all of our students achieve their highest level possible. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Huffman, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Representative Springer votes aye. House Bill 4013A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4015, relating to lead.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4015. Representative Conger.
Oops.
And Bill Carrier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I was attending law school, my daughter, Amy's, and my third child was born. And a few months after she was born, in her normal early childhood medical care routine, in the state of Massachusetts, there is a test for lead poisoning. And my wife, Amy, and I were stunned, to say the least, when this routine test came back with a very, very high level of lead poisoning for our daughter. We were very fortunate, and I am to this day thankful, that it was a false positive and it picked up lead that was on the surface of her fingers rather than in her blood. And we found out that she is not sick and she won't suffer from the consequences of lead poisoning. However, we also learned in a very personal way what lead can do. Lead is a very, very potent neurotoxin that is particularly impactful, impacts children, as children are more likely to ingest it and get it into their systems. And it affects them as they develop. And so we became sensitive the hard way, I guess, to the issue of lead poisoning. Lead is invisible, but it is present in our environment, and in particular in older buildings where lead-based paint may have been used. In the home that we lived in Massachusetts, there was no lead dust. The lead had been sealed up, or supposedly there was no lead dust. The lead had been sealed up with new paint, and yet our daughter picked it up on her fingertips and eventually would have, in fact, been poisoned if we hadn't immediately gotten out of that house. So we were very thankful for the process that exists to test for that in the state of Massachusetts and for the warning that our daughter was in danger, because we would have had no way to know. This bill comes to you today from a work group effort in the interim, and it is, I think, fairly straightforward, but for the sake of the record, I will reiterate what it does. Under current statute, the Oregon Health Authority has the authority to regulate lead-based paint activities and is responsible for educating and certifying firms and individuals to perform activities related to lead-based paint, like remediation or renovation of buildings with lead-based paint in them. They also develop and conduct programs to screen blood levels, identify hazards, and educate the public about the dangers of lead-based paint. And among their other responsibilities are to take appropriate precautions to reduce the probability of childhood lead poisoning. House Bill 4015 would simply require the Oregon Health Authority to develop a lead poisoning prevention clearinghouse on its website that would provide information for public and private schools primarily, particularly for grades kindergarten through grades 12. And this website would contain information about the dangers posed to students by exposure to lead, as well as how best to protect students, where hazards can exist or where they're likely to exist, and what to do if the staff of a school identifies a hazard, in other words, how to clean it up. This is a good bill, passed the Education Committee unanimously, and I urge an aye vote.
Co-carrier, Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise again in support of this bill as well. Thank you very much for my colleague from beautiful Bend. I just have a few things to add. While we've been aware of this problem in Northeast Portland for a long time, it's a problem that is serious wherever there are old buildings and people living, learning, and working in them. One of my heroes is my friend Josiah Hill. He was a physician's assistant who provided primary care for many people in my community. He was also the trainer for the Portland Trailblazers, their championship team, by the way. He made the elimination of lead in children's lives a part of his life's mission. Josiah died in 2000, year 2000. The clinic that bears his name now continues that legacy. If you Google the Josiah Hill Clinic, you will see a page that gives you an idea of how to deal with the lead, with removing lead and removing lead paint from homes. We know the effects of lead exposure on children, giving them a first strike against their cognitive development before they've really begun. These effects are a long-term burden on those children, on their families, on the school system, on our social support system, and on our economy. We are now decades into our recognition of these effects. We've drastically reduced the lead in air by removing it from gasoline. But many old buildings still have exposed lead paint, which leads to lead dust, which leads to lead inhalation and ingestion, which leads to cognitive and developmental problems. For example, you don't want to use a belt sander or a heat gun to try to remove paint. This bill is but a small step. It will give those who have care of children for a significant part of their days, our public and private schools, ready access to information on how they can limit or eliminate this exposure. And I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question of the carrier, which one?
I think Representative Conger.
Okay, Representative Conger, do you yield to
I
a
will
question?
Yield. Yes.
He
Thank
does.
Thank you, Representative. Representative, does this require schools to do testing of lead paint and dust in their schools?
No, it does not. We certainly looked at the opportunity to do that and the need, and the work group considered it in light of the costs and the availability of resources for the schools to do something like that. And the conclusion was we needed to take an important first step before getting to that point. This is a first step, but it does not require testing.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you for taking that question. To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, indeed, this is a first step. It is a very small first step. I want to talk about my constituent, Tamara Rubin, who lives in my district in the Selwood area. Tamara brought this issue to Consumer Protection Committee some years ago. Her family had been poisoned by lead dust when she had her old house. My house is about 100 years old, her house also. And she had her children living in the house while they were sanding the paint on her house. And the family, her young family, got sick one by one by one. Finally, it was discovered that they were poisoned by the lead paint, the dust that had come from the sanding in their home. Since that time, Tamara Rubin has worked tirelessly to bring this issue to legislatures, not just here, but nationally. Unfortunately, it is an expensive prospect to test the lead paint in schools, but it's one that we need to seriously address at some point. This is a very real, very dangerous problem. Tamara is on a work group nationally that's looking at this issue. We need to look at it locally in Oregon also. Thank you, but please do vote. This is a small step, but it is an important one. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also want to speak in favor of the bill and thank the carriers from the soul of Portland and beautiful Bend. We know that exposure to toxics, particularly in children, can create birth defects, learning disabilities, ADD, autism, childhood cancers, and lifelong issues, often with chronic diseases. So while we're spending a lot of time looking at how to better coordinate care through the new Early Learning Council and also through coordinated care organizations, and I think that's very important work to have a more coordinated approach to it. I also think that we need to be doing everything we can to prevent toxic exposure, particularly in kids. I want to thank all of you who have worked on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Conger, do you wish to close?
No, I do not.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Everyone has voted. House Bill 4015, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4035, relating to secured transactions of personal property and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4035A. Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 4035A is a revision to Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, which provides the rules governing any transaction other than a lease that couples debt with a creditor's personal interest in a debtor's personal property. The bill was brought to us by a work group of the Oregon Law Commission, which spent a number of months reviewing and proposing these changes to Oregon law to keep us up to date with developments in the Uniform Code around the country. It's an important, although obscure, issue. We passed the bill unanimously out of House Committee on Business and Labor. I would urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote?
Vote aye on this bill, please.
Okay, very good. House Bill 4035A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4046, relating to exemption from assessments on gross amount of premiums and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4046A. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 4046 removes supplemental insurance from the definition of a health benefit plan for the purposes of taxing health benefit plans for the Healthy Kids Program. Why are we in this situation? The intent of House Bill 2009 and its funding mechanism, House Bill 2116, was to provide access to health care for uninsured children in Oregon. To fund this legislation, the legislature imposed a 1% tax on health insurance premiums, defined as health benefit plans. House Bill 2116 defined the term health benefit plan as medical insurance plans. The definition was then changed and expanded to include some but not all supplemental plans. These supplemental plans are the plans that provide payments directly to the insured to offset the non-medical expenses which the health benefit plans do not cover. That's such things as if you have one of these plans, it might pay for walking your dog if you're injured. Excluding supplemental coverage from the 1% premium tax assessment is consistent with this legislature's past practices of excluding supplemental coverage from other health benefit plan assessments in previous or similar legislation. It's a good bill, should pass.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, do you wish to close? Representative Thompson, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
Aye.
He's an aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? He's an aye. House Bill 4046A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Up in the South Gallery, we have visiting today the Association of Oregon Liquor Sales Stores, and I'd just like to wave and welcome you to your Capitol today. Thanks for being here. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4068, relating to food banks and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4068A. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a bill you can all vote for and be proud of, and it actually solves a problem, which is what we're often sent here to do. Bycatch is fish that's caught unintentionally while commercial fishing for another species, and in Oregon, this is mostly salmon. Bycatch can be a great source of food for food banks, offering protein and nutritional value to hungry Oregonians. Oregon Fish and Wildlife and the Oregon State Police can give bycatch turned over by commercial fishing operators to food banks. The amount of bycatch can be in the thousands of pounds and thus feed many families. In order for the food banks to distribute fish bycatch to food pantries and ultimately hungry families, the fish needs to be processed into family-sized portions. The expense to process fish can be cost prohibitive for a food bank to pay. If food banks cannot afford the cost of processing, they will be forced to turn away the bycatch. House Bill 4068 allows food banks to provide a reasonable portion of the bycatch to the fish processing business as payment. The legislation also exempts food banks from certain commercial labeling requirements of the bycatch and allows fish processing businesses to sell the portion of bycatch that it retains. House Bill 4068 will give commercial fish processors assurance that they can handle the bycatch. And by processing, that means jobs. And the people who work in the factories will be having this work. The demand for emergency food services in Oregon has increased dramatically, forcing many food banks to look for new sources of food. For example, Clatsop Community Action Regional Food Bank reached out to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and Oregon State Police to acquire fish and game donations through product seizure. Last year, they were able to accept 19,494 pounds of product, which was primarily fish and spawning runs. Several of you have, in a bipartisan and bicameral manner, supported this bill, and I can't take credit for all of it. The Food Bank of Oregon came to me just before we started the process of introducing bills and asked me to use one of my priority bills, and I was happy to do that. And I fully expect you all to approve this today. And I will sit down and let other people speak because I'm co-carrying this with one of our newest member. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill. I was honored to have the opportunity to support this bill to come out of the Energy, Environment, and Water Committee and to support the excellent work by my colleague, the good representative from the upper left coast, who worked with Food Bank, who also worked with the fishing industry, Oregon Fish and Wildlife, the regional and the statewide food banks. As many of you may know, Oregon leads the 50 states in food insecurity among children. Oregon food banks have a strategy to really try to increase intentional food production according to the region of the different food banks to address this issue. It is innovative policies like House Bill 4068 that can help grow the food sources available to food banks across Oregon. I urge your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Parrish.
Thank you. To the bill. First, I'd like to thank the representative from the upper left coast for bringing this bill forward. I'm a huge food bank supporter in my own community, and when you think about the number of people who are struggling to access food, this is a big deal. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is. Interestingly, in 2009, when my husband was in Iraq, I got a wild hair and drove the kids to Alaska, and they hand you a little handout when you're up on the roads in Alaska and you're driving down the Alcan that says, if you hit big game, 1,800-pound moose or whatever, that you're required by law to call in and say that there's, something that is edible on the side of the road. And then their version of ODOT, whatever that is up in Alaska, will come and dress the animal, and then they give it back to the tribes. So here's a state that does this. And I remember thinking when I'm reading the little driving handout, wow, if we could be doing something like that in Oregon, where you can use some of the things that are abundant in our food cycle, a life cycle of food, and here somebody's come and done this. So I just really wanted to thank Representative from the Upper West Coast for using a priority bill to do something that's going to help all Oregonians all over the state access proteins, which are, quite frankly, something that is not being donated into our community food system is quality, high-quality protein. So thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Boone, do you wish to close? She does.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, just briefly. And I would be remiss if I didn't call your attention to an honor, a man in our area. He's in Representative Witt's district now, but he's well known throughout Clatsop County for his generosity. He's a food processor, fish processor, Steve Fick, and he donates to almost every event that asks him, and he is willing to allow the food bank to use his processing facilities to do this too, so we know that we're going to be doing this in my area, and this is something that all the coastal areas will be able to do, and I've got processors down in the other parts of my district, and I'm sure that, that we'll be hearing from them. And in addition, something that came up in committee, somebody asked about what about the recreational fishery, and that wasn't addressed in this bill, but we are certainly going to be moving toward that direction. And then one of our colleagues on committee asked about some sort of in-kind donation credit, and we're going to be looking into that as well. So this is a really good solution to something that's been a problem for a long time. I urge your support.
Speaker Hanna, you're in the queue. Is that Representative Esquivel that did that for you? Okay, there we go. Thanks. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? He votes aye. House Bill 4068A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4092, relating to distillery special events and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 4092A. Representative Harker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, the people we represent have asked us repeatedly to do what we can to help this economy get going again, to create jobs. We have an industry in this state of craft distilleries that is poised to add jobs and grow. There are nearly one-third of the people in this room represent a district containing at least one distillery. Representative from the Republic of Portland, I believe, Representative Bailey, seems to contain, his district contains more than the average that we represent, but they are sprinkled all around the state. There are 46 of them, and in 2011, they produced more than 330 products and sold more than 12% of the distilled spirits sold in this state. What this bill will do is address an inequity between the way breweries, wineries, and distilleries are treated. Right now, the breweries and wineries can have events, offer tastes of their products, and offer the sale of their products to those people who would like to buy them. At this point in time, the distilleries can have events, offer tastes of their products, but they cannot sell to someone who wants to buy. This bill addresses that inequality. It was authored in its current form, the amended form, almost entirely by OLCC and agreed to by the Oregon Distillers Guild. I request your support on this bill. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I want to thank the good representative from Beaverton and Cedar Hills for really distilling this issue down to its core components. And in the spirit of urban-suburban cooperation here, this is a great bill that's good for a lot of small businesses in all of our districts. My district happens to be the epicenter of the micro-distillery movement, which we can hope is yet another thing to put Oregon on the map as a place for innovation and good jobs.
Further discussion, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I just want to show some bipartisan support for this effort. I, too, have craft distilleries in my district, and as I can tell you that in this day and age when we are looking for growth industries in Oregon, obviously they are too far and too few between.
But I would put this bill or this category of the industry within the same category of craft breweries, wineries. They are truly involving some innovation in Oregon and creating new products that bring people to cities, tourism, increase all kinds of awareness about the great things going on here in the state of Oregon. So I would encourage your support of this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As one who occasionally consumes spirits, I want to let you know that I have tried a number of those 48, although certainly not all of them. I recommend that those who are inclined to consume spirits from time to time might want to try them, because some of them are wonderful, excellent products that will not only grow jobs in Oregon, but also are wonderful things to consume for their own right. Colleagues, anything that will help us to get the word out is a good thing. I urge your support for the bill.
Since all other people have spoken, Representative Johnson, you're in the queue for a second time. Oh, okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Harker, do you wish to close?
Might as well, Mr. Speaker, just to further appreciate the bipartisan spirits in the room.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? She votes aye. House Bill 4092A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final readings, memorials, and resolutions. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 1531, relating to connection to federal tax law and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 1535, relating to use of master form instruments and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1537, relating to abandoned burial spaces and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 1565, relating to dispensing of drugs and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the first time are passed to co-speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. The orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, grab your lunch and come to caucus in about 15 minutes, 25 after.
Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Democrats, please grab your lunch and come to the caucus room as soon as you can for caucus. Thank you.
And Representative Widener, announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you may indulge me for a second. 19 years ago, at about 5:15, 5:30 in the afternoon, something that was shared with me and my wife. If I speak in the tongues of men, of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. I'm sharing this with you today because it's been 19 years that I have been privileged to be married to one of the most wonderful women in the world. And I was hoping she would be able to be here with me, but as we had our anniversary dinner the other night at Camp 18, and my big red truck was the only one sitting in the back middle of the parking lot. A lady backed into it, so she had to go to the auto repair and was unable to be here for this today. But it has been 19 years that I have been married to the most wonderful woman and wanted to share that with you.
Further announcements, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day and also going to be called Tuxedo Tuesday. So if you have a tuxedo, wear it, or black and red, whatever you'd like. Thank you.
Further announcements.
I don't want to be alone.
Remonstrances. Representative Kenemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I was intrigued today to receive an email note from a representative about the fact, apparently, or alleged fact, that Troutdalian is indeed a word. And I was concerned about that, and I also thought, imitation is the warmest form of flattery. And I want you to know that when I was a Clackamas County Commissioner, we came up with the word Clackamanian, and I am a proud Clackamanian, and I have the bumper sticker to prove it.
Further remonstrances, Representative Parrish.
Thank you. Colleagues, on Friday, I don't know who set committee schedules, but Human Services manages to go to 5 o'clock on Friday, and I'm very grateful for the time that we get to spend in that committee. But on Friday, the representative from Clackamas County brought a bill forward to protect $1.4 million from TANF. This would give people $50 a month as a stipend as they're trying to get off TANF and move into the system, or out of the system, excuse me, move out of the system and get back on the road to success. And it pains me, as we talk about budgets, that we don't know where this $1.4 million is, and women came and testified about their experience in poverty, and I don't know that there's, I'd probably say that there's probably not a member on this House floor who's been poorer than I have. And so it strikes at my heart when you talk about people who are trying to find a way to stay in their homes, or they have been without jobs. And these aren't women who, one gal had a master's degree, and she just can't find a job. And so it weighed on me over the weekend, because one of the things I testified to in committee is, folks, we have the money. We do have the money. As we were hearing their testimony, I was going through the transparency website, and I pulled up just a few transactions that I find, quite frankly, to be horrendous transactions when we can't fund frontline services for individuals. So one of the transactions was $750,000 spent in 2010 from the DHS office in out-of-state travel. Out of state, not in state talking to people, and not in state talking to the folks who are receiving these services, but out of state. And there's also some line item in there for foreign travel. I don't know where there are human services committees outside of this country that we have to send people to, but apparently there are. $750,000 for out of state travel. There was, and I hope not to offend any of the movie theater lobbyists, but about $500,000 spent on advertising DHS at the movie theater. If that is where you think your core audience is at the movie theater, I think somebody needs to talk to the marketing department at DHS. Probably not an appropriate use of our money. So right there is the $1.4 million that the representative from Clackamas County was asking for, and there seems to be no will in this body to clamp down the spending of these agencies and ask them to stop spending money on things that do not drive to the frontline services to help Oregonians. I'm horrified that we have not had those conversations about where our money is and where we're spending it. We can talk about big budgets all day long, but until we look in the checkbook and hold people accountable for the type of spending, we will continue to have women come to our committees crying and upset because we are cutting off the programs that we need. Now, philosophically, we may or may not agree with what those programs are, but those programs exist, and we have the money for them. This body needs to have the will to tell the agencies to stop spending on money on things we don't need. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remonstrances, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in my district, Tillamook County, in 2009, the county quilt trail was formed under sponsorship of the Latimer Quilt and Textile Center and began to identify historic barns and other buildings in Tillamook County, enhance the structure with large painted wooden quilt blocks, and then share the history of dairy farms and quilts through a self-guided tour for visitors to celebrate this unique rural heritage of Tillamook County. 16 barn structure blocks are now on display in the original trail, the first of its kind on the West Coast. In 2010, the committee began planning an execution of a quilt block trail, Walk Our Blocks, in downtown Tillamook in the city, hanging 30 blocks on participating businesses and promoting our coastal heritage. The committee has also begun another way of highlighting quilting and history through the creation of flags. This project is called Fly Our Flags and enlists the help of special needs kids in our county school system to assemble, sew, and package these flags. In the spring of 2011, it became its own 501c3. So today in your office inboxes are three postcards, a brochure with more information, and a map of the lovely of the trail, and a lovely wooden coaster. So this is for you. Come to Tillamook County and enjoy our quilt trail. Thank you.
Further discussion, further remonstrances. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 19 years ago, I could fit in my tuxedo. Sadly, that's no longer true, and I will not be participating tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remonstrances? Seeing none. Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 11 a.m., Tuesday, February 14th, 2012.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until Tuesday, 11 a.m., February 14th, 2012.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Tuesday, February 14th, 2012. We'll have a birthday party. Without objection, the House is adjourned.